I was invited to do the message today, and we were thinking that God wanted us to do something about God's garden. And that song really portrays the introduction of what I'm going to be talking about. And then the Lord was talking to me, and he said, you know, when God makes a garden, he starts with a seed, right? And he does everything only with a seed. And then it grows. And then I was thinking, you know, in a garden, what kind of seeds do I want in my garden? Well, I want beautiful flowers. I want beautiful trees. But I'm not like Yul Gibbons, and I can't eat them. So I want vegetables. I want fruit. I want mangoes. Hallelujah. I want things that I enjoy. And when Jesus went up to the fig tree, and I was thinking about this story, and then he cursed it. And then later they came back with the disciples passing the same road, going back the other way. And the fig tree had died because he cursed it. So I was asking the Lord, I was inquiring of the Lord. I said, what happened there? What did that tree do to you? Right? No fruit. Right. And if it's no fruit, it's no good. No good, no eating. He was hungry, and it didn't give him fruit. And so anything that does not bear fruit is not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And it must bear good fruit. And anything that God does is good. And everything God does is in abundance. And if we go to an apple orchard and it's apple season, do you just find one teeny weeny eeny little bit of tiny apple on there? Just one? The branches are so full that the fruit of whatever tree that is bountiful falls off. So there could be room for more to come. And you go and grab them from the branches. And if they haven't been on the ground too long, you grab them up, at least before the birds get to them. And you see the bounty of the Lord. And I thought, Lord God, how bountiful have I been? How much fruit have I been bearing? To not hoard it for myself, but to give and share to others. Have I just been praying what I need, what I want? Lord, give it to me, 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 me. Or am I going to be an instrument of God to be used, to be bountiful, to bless others? Because that's what Jesus did. He died and became that seed in the ground so that when he was raised from the dead, his fruit set us free and made a way where there was no way. And we are the fruit of his seed of redemption and salvation. We have to be Christ-like and Christ-minded. The garden isn't just so that I could go in and enjoy in the cool of the day by myself. That garden is to be planted by the rivers of living water so that we could flow. And the rivers of living water flows out blessings. We become blessings to bless others. Hallelujah. So God says it's our season. God says it's our time. The reaper is overtaking the sower. Do you know what that means? It means the harvest is growing up faster than they can plant more seed. It means that God has already given you your wealth and your exchange of wealth from the wicked. It's already there for you before you plant more seed. And let me tell you, those that have sown greatly, greatly, your reward has already been busheled. It's not a coming. It's already been given. And so today, God says to me, how much fruit do you want to bear? How much fruit do you want to give out? I said, more, Lord. More. And he said, I am the God of more than enough. And he said to me, I want you to check yourself up. We just took our cars in for another servicing, and three times with specialists, our air conditioner had a challenge, and it would get cold at night when it was cool and be warm in the day in 105 degree weather. How many know that's not the will of God? I said, something's backwards here. We're casting some demons out of that air conditioner. And three witnessed it and prayed for favor. Went to Pastor Joshua's mechanic and established the kingdom of God and asked God to guide him. And he found a tiny, tiny, tiny leak in a valve or something where the Freon goes in. And he says, well, no wonder you have to just keep putting Freon in and Freon in and Freon in. And he fixed it. But you can't fix something you don't know what it is, right? And so the other guys did the best that they could do, even though one was an air conditioner expert, but he wasn't a man of God. He was just a regular, you know, professional and did a good job at what he does. But when you have a born-again, spirit-filled Christian on the job, or a person of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within, and they're going to bear fruit greater than others. And this man doesn't probably even know it, but he operates in word of knowledge and word of wisdom. The Lord shows him, and discerning of spirits as well, what's going on. Good diagnostician. So the Lord says, we need to get a checkup. See, I don't go to doctors anymore, so I'm not going to ask them to give me a checkup because I don't want any bad reports, right? And so the checkup, when we went, we declared that our car was functioning perfectly, that God would shore up any repairs with the blood of Jesus, and that our vehicles and everything that we own will not wear out, just like the sandals of the Hebrews for 40 years. Whatever we need to use also will not wear out. So he said, check your heart, check the things that you do. And sometimes we miss things. As good as we are efficient in some areas, right? You know, Pastor Josh was telling the staff now, triple check your work. And I did triple check my work, but I think I need a quadruple. So before he corrects me, I'm going to tell you, I made a boo-boo on this outline. And I triple checked everything except the title, Living in the More Than Enough. And I made my own instructor's guide. And then I would just take out all the scriptures and everything and just leave the outline for the handout. Makes it easier. But then I've got my scriptures. I could just read off my sheet. Don't have to keep flipping my Bible or turning in my phone. So just white out the IG instructor guides by Pastor Karen Part, and then Pastor Joshua won't have to correct me. I corrected myself. But if we don't allow God to correct us, then we're not letting him love us, because he loves those that he corrects. Another translation says, he loves those and he rebukes them, the ones that he loves. Now, the devil confuses words and terminologies, and some denominations, when they're casting out the devil or binding up the devil, will say, I rebuke you, Satan. Well, that means you're correcting him and he's not going to stand corrected. We need to bind him up and cast him out. That's what the word says. But when God rebukes us, it's because he wants us to grow and change and not keep making mistakes over and over and over. We all know the saying, do the same thing over and over and over, expecting better results, is the definition of what? Insanity. And that's crazy thinking, right? So I said, Holy Spirit, would you correct me? Would you help me grow? And then he sent me to ABC, and oh my gosh. Hello, Karen. Yes, Pastor Joshua. I'd like to bring to your attention something. I said, well, I guess I asked for it. Bring it on. And most people get offended. You know, in the beginning, I was offended because I was being corrected. But then I prayed about it and saw there was truth there. If I want to change and if I want to grow, then I need someone to give me a checkup. Someone that could be neutral and looking at what I'm doing or how I'm growing. And If I'm stuck on an area, I've done everything that I know to do and I just stand in faith, but still challenged with not getting the results I need. I don't know. Have you ever been there? Just me. Anyway, so then I start calling up, Pastor Joshua, what do you think is the problem? Where's the roadblock of the sin that's unaware that I can't see? He says, you really want me to tell you? Brace yourself, I think to myself. Yes, I do. Okay. Correction may not always be easy to hear, but I'd rather get corrected than if I'm standing on a curb of a busy street and not realizing I'm about to step into the traffic. Someone says, stop. I'd say, why didn't you tell it to me nicer? You know, that's how correction feels like sometimes, you know? But hindsight is 20/20. And so I would be glad to now say thank you to the person correcting me. I appreciate the correction. And I will pray about that and ask God to help me make a faith action plan to turn it around. Because I don't want to do the same thing over and over and over. There are areas in each of our lives that we are very successful in. And you could probably teach me how to be successful in those areas because God has given each of you a gift, each of us a gift, and you're experts in those things and we need each other. However, there are other things that we need help in. Thank God for grace because he says where we are weak, he is what? Strong, hallelujah. He shores us up. You know, the devil wants us to make mistakes. The devil doesn't want us to get checked up on. The devil doesn't want us corrected. And the devil wants us offended when one of our leaders in authority or a friend or a loved one wants to tell us the truth in love. And so we have to purpose in our heart. My garden cannot grow if I've got weeds stifling out the good fruit. I got to get those weeds out so that the fruit can come up and become the trees they're supposed to be. And so I need to change my mindset, just like that mechanic had to find the tiny, tiny hole that was leaking out. And I didn't get offended when he said, gee, your valve has a leak. Oh my gosh, he offended me. I'm never going back there. He's correcting my car. We don't do that, right? It's the same attitude we should have when the pastor or leader comes to us and say, well, he could do without the finger, but if they do the finger, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about something. Just put on the attitude. Oh, okay, I'm getting a checkup. I welcome correction because it means the pastor loves me. See, the devil wants you to hear the head talkers in your brain, the demons who talk to your thoughts in your head and say, he's correcting you, she's correcting you because they want to offend you. Now you could take the bait and let that seed bear bad fruit and become a weed and choke out the word of God to say, walk in love, joy, peace, patience. Don't let those head talkers get to you. Recognize them now. Recognize what voices. So the Lord said to me, I want you to remind those that are living it, show those that are close to it, those that are clueless, and those that want to go to the next level, how we can be living in the more than enough. And I said, well, Lord God, that's a challenging subject because it's not like I'm driving a Rolls Royce or anything to be the prime example. He says, yes, but you have more than enough and you are on that path. And as you are following others, others will follow you. That everybody's ceiling is somebody else's floor. So as I am mimicking Pastors Joshua and Sarah, doing what I am learning and being corrected, then I can help others from what I've learned, you know? And we all work together as a body. Amen? So here's the overview. Just like you take your car to the mechanic for a checkup to correct anything that's wrong and maintain the car in good working order to perform at its maximum potential, let's do a checkup to see if you are living in the more than enough in the realm of the kingdom of God. Don't let the head talkers, the demons who speak to you through thoughts in your head, convince you that a life of status quo with the attitude that everything is okay the way it is cause you to miss out on your inheritance in Christ Jesus. As a co-heir or joint heir with Jesus, God wants you to have a superabundant supply of everything in your life because he is the God of more than enough. And so don't settle for just enough. Living in the just enough isn't God's will for you. As a king's kid, you are good enough to reign over this earth as an ambassador of Christ. Most people ask God to provide just enough because that's where our mentality has been and where the devil teaches most of us. And, you know, the Hebrews were given manna every day when they left Egypt. They had no food. They had, you know, what they had just lasted a little bit of time. But for 40 years, whatever they took out of Egypt wasn't going to last unless they had dried beef jerky, or maybe that's when it was invented. I don't know. But anyway, you know, they needed supernatural provision. But reading that story, they were told to only gather up a day's ration. It was not a suggestion now. It was a command. And those who hoarded, hoarding is a huge sin. When you hoard because you feel that you don't have enough for tomorrow or next year, it turned to worms. Because they needed to learn that God was their daily provider. Interestingly enough, the day before the Sabbath, he told them to gather a two-day ration so that on the Sabbath, they wouldn't have to work to gather food, and it did not turn to worms because it was holy. The Sabbath is holy. Those of us that don't take one full day of rest are violating God's will, and we need to repent for that and ask him to help us get to that point. If your schedule doesn't permit it, he'll help you transition to that. That's where you will get a more than enough level because you will recharge your batteries during that Sabbath day, and then you'll have enough to last for 6 days when you spend time with God on that Sabbath day, when you enjoy your family and your friends and just have literally time to rest. Okay. So God says in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:11, that he would give us today or this day our daily bread. Every day he provides for us. That's what he's saying. And so we've had the mentality that, oh, we could just only ask for today. In that time, it was necessary. That was daily because they had no refrigeration. They couldn't carry those things with them. So things, you know, weren't preserved. So now he says, remove far from me falsehood and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful or necessary and essential for me. And I believe that comes from Proverbs 30, verse 8. And this person who was talking didn't want anything to make them not holy. They didn't want to have anything interrupt their relationship with God. But they didn't understand because they said, don't give me poverty or riches. They had a status quo mentality. So God's going to give you what you ask for, right? God could have given them riches. But what was happening was they saw a lot of arrogant, rich people who were abusive to others, disdained them, looked down on them, didn't help the poor. They were very rude people, very mean people. And they thought they were higher and mightier than others. And this person didn't want to be like that. But that's not the way that God blesses us. And so that's why they were asking that. And said, feed me the food that is needful, necessary, essential for me, meaning give me my daily sustenance. And number four, all challenges are a lie. Don't give in to the illusion of your five senses. Get rid of doubt and unbelief so that all things will be possible for you. Only if you believe and the word of God, okay? So only if you believe. See, that's important, that we must believe. And so illusionists love to trick people, and they operate, many of them, through demons of trickery. And if people are doing to trick people, then they're opening up themselves to those demons. Now, if we're doing illustrations for a demonstration, it's a purpose, that's a different thing. But, you know, the devil tricks us. And say you have a glass and it represents us. And we think that, oh, we haven't had any sin. We're doing really good. We've been repenting, renouncing, and breaking. And, you know, I don't think I have any sins of being offended. I don't think I have any sins of self-hatred. You know, because we don't see those things. And then as a quality insurance inspector would come and they would have to use a white glove or a white napkin and wipe something up. And, oh, that's pretty clean. Good thing that was clean. As a demonstration, that's pretty clean because it's a white glove test. And you're like, oh, well, let's get a glass that you know, seems pretty clean there. And we're just going to do a quality assurance test. And we're going to see how it passes that test. Okay. And God comes with the rivers of living water. And then it flows through us. And people say, I don't believe that people have demons that are Christian. There's no way that Christians could have demons. We're clean. We got the Holy Ghost. Well, God said that we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So why is that person having to deal with diabetes? That comes from a demon. Well, how about colds and flus? Those come from germs. Those are little demons. So let's see how this glass is going to be. It seems like it's so clean. Oh my goodness. What? It seems so clean. What's coming out of there? The rivers of living water will bring out the dirt and sin. Not so that we'd be condemned or be offended when someone tells us it's present, but to make us aware that we need the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and sanctify us. And we need the rivers of living water to come and cleanse us of all unrighteousness so that we can become purified by the rivers of living water. When we thought that was clean, right? So thank you, Lord, for your correction and showing me. I'm thanking God when he shows me. I'm thanking the pastors and the leaders and my friends and family when they show me. Except sometimes when I go to a party and, you know, when I came to ABC, I was 4 dress sizes bigger. And then I learned to do my affirmations and I learned to call my weight down. In the name of Jesus, my weight is X pounds and my measurements are XXX. And then I'm working out. And now that I just started working out, I do my affirmations as I'm working out. It's the word of God that's strengthening me. And then I am strengthening my body. And it's been 10 years. So I couldn't run up. I couldn't run because I had challenges with my knees. Remember, I told you about the challenges, the shattered patella and kneecaps. And then the devil tried to do it again to me last year when I fell and couldn't get off the ground. And my kneecaps again were bleeding. And he tries to attack you where your challenge is, you know? You ever got a little cut and everybody bumps it? They don't even know it's there, you know what I mean? The devil knows it's there. And so when I couldn't get off the ground and I was in a lot of pain, and my head was bleeding and my husband wasn't scheduled to be home for 3 hours, I thought, well, this is a lie of the devil. Pastor Sarah says, tell the devil no in the name of Jesus. And the head talkers kept saying, call 911. The patellas are you have shattered bone again. Call 911. Your knees look like the size of 2 softballs. The pain is so excruciating. It's beyond a 10. Couldn't get off the ground. Call 911. I'm like, no, this is a lie of the devil. In the name of Jesus, my knees have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My knees have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is a lie. I'm calling 119 instead of 911. 1 John 1:9, like I was taught in healing schools 1, 2, and 3. If I didn't repeat those over and over and over and over and over again, and I'm going to keep, you know, repeating, and I'm going to go to School of Dominion. I'm going to learn to take stronger dominion in my life so that I will have more than enough in every area of my life. In 5 minutes, my husband was home. Well, I didn't have my cell phone by me, and the Lord showed me the cord of the landline, and he said, pull it. So I pulled the phone to me, and I called my husband, and I was crying in pain. He goes, what's the matter? I said, honey, the devil made me trip and fall, and I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, but I need your help to get off the floor. And he says, I'll be there in 5 minutes. The Lord told me to leave work early today. He was not allowed to leave early, but the Lord told him to. He didn't know why, so he obeyed. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so as my husband came, first thing I said was, could you please help me to the couch? And he says, you know, do you want first aid kit? Do you want this? Do you want that? I said, I want my counter to do my affirmations and have the medicine of the word of God, because the gospel pill is the best pill you could ever take. The gospel, the good news that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I wish I had a video, because that was about like it was about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, 3 or 4 p.m. And about 2:30 a.m., I mean, I couldn't sleep because of the challenge of the pain. I just propped my legs up on a bunch of pillows and kept doing my affirmations. And about 2:30, you know, you've seen two softball-sized knees. It just was like somebody popped a balloon. Pew! Went back to normal size. Pain left. I was doing stuff that I learned in semester 2, stuff I learned in semester 3. You know, I was casting out demons. I was binding up and casting out demons, as well as doing my affirmations. And all of a sudden, I was healed. I was so excited. I woke up my husband. He said, what? What? Are you okay? Are you okay? Yes, hallelujah. This stuff works. This ABC stuff really works. He goes, what? And I jumped out of bed. I said, see? Ta-da! It's an illusion. It's a lie. It was a lie of the devil that he was trying to make me think that I was injured and sick. I don't care what your 5 senses tell you. I don't care how much pain you're in. I don't care when you look at your bank book and you don't see anything in there and it's in the negative and it's in the red. I don't care if your car has challenges. I don't care if you don't have any gas in your tank, because for over 10 days, God had me drive without gas in my car to go minister for 10 days. After 10 days, I said, I can't take any more Canaveral gas. When we had 10 foster kids and we were living on a budget of one person, donations from churches from the United States when we were in Guatemala, I had 10 foster kids with the same food budget for one person. Beans kept coming out of that pot every day. Every day. We had beans and tortillas, black beans and tortillas. They've never had black beans. They are delicious. Central American food is very delicious. But when I came back to the United States, I said, I'm on a bean break. I love beans, but okay, 10 years of beans, I want some variety in my diet. You know, Chinese, we can eat rice every day. Italians can have pasta every day. And Latinos can have their beans or tortillas every day, which is great. But for 10 years, this Chinese gal wanted some more rice. I can make beans any way you want them. Refried, whole, you know, in tacos and burritos. You know, you got to have some kind of variety. God is a God of abundance, right? He's going to supply our every need. It doesn't matter. Miracles occur when we need them, when we walk in the level of more than enough. Miracles occur. If I say I'm challenged to believe that this car will start because there's no gas, guess what? I get what I say. It's not starting. If I say my God is a God of more than enough, and so God says to bless and multiply, if there's one drop of gas in there, be multiplied in Jesus' name. Start it up. And in Guatemala, there are no gas stations 200 miles down the road. There's only guerrilla warfare. And you don't want to break down in that area. But every time that a policeman or military or someone came up to my car, I always said it's their time to get evangelized. I always said to them, does your mother and God know what you're trying to do to me to take bribes? Well, they either got saved or repented or backed off, one or the other. We have to expect that God has not just met our need, but that he has already given us everything that we need to equip us for the work that he gave us. Can you imagine hiring a gardener and he doesn't have his own business and he comes to your house and he says, where's your lawnmower? And you say, I don't have one. Or you hire a housekeeper and she says, where's your laundry detergent? You say, I don't have any. How are they going to do their work if you don't give them the tools of their trade in order to accomplish their goal, right? Why do you think God would not give us money so we could expand the kingdom? Why do you think God would withhold from us the essentials and give us extra above and beyond what we need so we could do more for him? Ambassadors, when they go to a country, have everything at their beck and call needed to supply their needs. And so when we represent God, and in a little tiny, tiny country like Guatemala, when we would go to the U.S. Embassy to vote or to renew our visas or whatever we needed, they had big, thick walls that were bulletproof. When you went to the guard gate, there were military that had AK-47s. They were Marines. They were MPs. They meant business. They had four towers of the big wall surrounding the entire complex that were bulletproof towers with machine guns through the little holes. And I went to the tower and there was this big metal wall. And I said, well, how do people get in this embassy? You can't even drive in here. And then he looked at my passport. He saw, you know, I was a U.S. citizen and what my business was and approved me. And I was on the list of guests to go and meet the ambassador and minister to a lot of ambassadors, a lot of people when I was in Central America, presidents of the nations. And all of a sudden the metal wall came down and it was actually the road. And I learned later that they call that a tank barrier. So if a tank came up to try to infiltrate, it would stop it. And so I drove over that wall when it came down back to street level. And then you had to go through this turnstile. Well, they have them in banks now that when you go in, it stops. And then they take your picture and they see if you're okay. And then they automatically opens up. So you go in the other way, you know, keep going. And then after that, there was another bulletproof doors. And after that, you get to the window and those are bulletproof. And nobody could go in any doors unless it was buzzed open. This is a tiny, tiny country. Now think about God. If that's the kind of protection that man can give, God gives better protection. And each one of you are an ambassador of Christ. And each one of you have been given special dispatches of MP angels to protect you. And each one of you have been given every resource and everything that you need to fulfill your call here on earth. But you haven't been asking if you just had the mentality of the head talkers telling you, just ask for just enough. We need to get rid of doubt and unbelief. All things are possible for us who believe in Jesus and the word of God. God wants you living a life of more than enough. Money is mentioned in the Bible about 1,346 times. And Jesus spoke about money more than any other subject. And in the New Testament, money is mentioned more times than heaven and hell combined. Do you think that's important to God? That we learn about having money for his kingdom. But no one can serve two masters. You have to serve God. And if someone's serving money or mammon, and that's all that's on their mind is make money, make money, make money. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. That's a head talker. They don't realize that has become an idol enslaving them because they can't see themselves as that ambassador of Christ who has been provided everything from all of heaven. Do you know there was this little eaglet, the egg from an eagle's nest rolled down, rolled down, rolled down, rolled down, rolled down, rolled down from this big, big tree, and it got into a chicken yard, and then he popped out. And he goes, hi, I'm born. And the mama chicken says, come on under here under my little wing with my other little chickies. And he says, thank you, mama chickie. And so then he grew up and he grew bigger and bigger and bigger than the chickens. And he looks in the puddle. He goes, I don't look like my brothers and sister chickies. And then they would just hop around and peck and peck and peck. And so he would hop around and peck and peck and peck. And pretty soon, there were some young eagles flying by, and they looked at this other eagle, and they came down and said, what are you doing? He says, I'm just hopping around and pecking and pecking and pecking. And he said, aren't I doing a good job? Because I'm the best pecker in the whole pen. And they said, yeah, but hello, you can fly. He goes, I cannot fly. My mama's a chicken. She can't fly. And they said, yes, you can. You're an eagle. How dare you tell me what's wrong with me? How dare you say, how come you're just pecking around? I'm not an eagle. Yes, you are. Well, I'm offended. I'm not talking to you anymore. In fact, I'm going to leave this church because you're telling me I'm an eagle and I can fly. I want to keep pecking and hopping. And so the young eagle came by another day and said, come here. Let's go to this pond and see, that's my reflection and that's your reflection. Do you look like me? I do. Well, I'm going to show you how to fly. I can't fly. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Try it. Try it. No, I can't. No, I can't. Run and flap your wings. Bump. Crash. I told you I couldn't. Well, you received what you thought. The head talkers got to the little eaglet. You can't do it. You can't fly. You can't be an eagle. You can't be a super conqueror. You cannot walk in more than enough because you can only get just enough. And so the little other eaglet came by again and said, let's keep practicing. Okay, follow me. Follow me. Went up about a foot, came down. Ooh, that was kind of fun. Well, wait till you get way, way up high. Oh, I might get airsick. I don't know if I want to go that high. I'm not ready. My faith can't get to that level. Too sad, too bad. You already got that faith at that level. Ha, ha, ha. Because God already gave it to you in the mustard seed. Remember the dot? The eagle could not take back that he was an eagle, no matter how much he thought like a chicken. He already had eagle properties. You have eagle properties because you've been made in the image of Christ. You can't say to me, I don't have enough faith yet because God already put it there. It's just that your garden needs to be watered more so that you could blossom and that your fruit can come in abundance and that you can fly. You can fly higher and you can go into the more than enough. And what seems impossible to anybody else, God says, it's not impossible to you because you are my son. You are my daughter. I already made you to fly and you can do what I did because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And Jesus Christ is your king. He is the King of kings, and he has made you to be in his image. Amen? Amen. God says he is showing us that we are already in the more than enough. He has opened up this season of time of harvest. You will see it. Those that believe in the impossible, those that will take off the blinders and not be in the chicken coop and fly out of there. Because that's what he's caused you to be. That's who he has made you to be as a born-again, spirit-filled creature. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so, money isn't evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Show God that you could be faithful in the little things, and he'll entrust you with the greater things, because he wants you to take off. But sometimes in your test flights, the little eaglet had to go, he had to learn how to hop out of the fence and fly out of the fence. And then his little wings had to get stronger and stronger so he could fly out to the pond and come back. And then his wings got stronger and stronger, and pretty soon he can go up like 50 feet and come back. And then he could go 100 feet, 1,000 feet. And pretty soon he was soaring 1,000 feet and made his nest in the cliffs of the mountain. You have refuge in the strong high tower, your dwelling place, as you've been seated in high places with Christ Jesus as your true home, not down here on earth, the pecking ground. Let's fly like we're supposed to, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Why did he say Most High? Because we're up there with him. Hallelujah. So God wants you to know who you are in Christ. God watches to see if you're a good steward to prosper. Because what little he has given you, he wants us to invest it in the kingdom. That's the best place to invest your money, is in the kingdom of God, the way that he has told us to biblically. It is the best place, the most fertile ground to plant your seed. Do you think that you would buy a stock that only makes one penny a year of profit? Well, if you would, come talk to my husband. He'll help you out. You know, my husband, I think in 1 week, has done over 10,000 affirmations of prosperity. He is putting into the pipeline what he wants to receive from his harvest. And so either daily or weekly, he's doing now at least 1,000 on a regular maintenance basis. And he was called in to be a quality assurance specialist as a troubleshooter in a business that wasn't really his forte, but he did it because of family loyalties to help out. And God used him with spiritual warfare to turn things around instead of having everything shut down. And, you know, there were some major mistakes and they had to fire the administrator, and then he had to come in and, you know, turn everything around. And so because he prayed every day and he wouldn't let the devil take what he knew that he had rightful authority over, took dominion over it, and was trained and mentored by Pastor Joshua, they were able to turn that situation around. And now God is blessing us in that more than enough, where when we were at our other churches, when we came back from Guatemala, God provided for us supernaturally. And then the devil hit us really hard with a lot of stuff because he's trying to stop us from continuing on in the ministry. And my body was challenged with sicknesses, and I was bedridden for over 6 months. Even though I had a handicap placard, I did not want to park in handicap because I didn't consider myself disabled. I said, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So in those days, we believed in going to the doctors and, you know, praying for divine healing. And God turned that whole situation around when we got to ABC. And I'm running. I've lost 4 dress sizes. I'm healthy. I'm strong. God has healed me of cancer twice. The Lord is my more than enough. And out of everything that I've learned, the Lord had me go back to work and in a field of sales, and I didn't know anything about sales. And my husband says, I'll train you. I said, well, how am I going to be selling? I don't know how to sell. He goes, hello, you're an evangelist. And you've convinced over 60,000 people to receive an invisible God as their Lord and Savior and leave and turn everything around in their life for somebody they have never seen. Hello, I think you can convince somebody to buy a product. I said, well, I never thought about that. So he says, okay, I'll help you. And so I got this job, and you're low man on the totem pole. And every week they gave you your statistics. And if you were below the statistic, you were fired every week. Do you know what kind of pressure that is? Every week. So Pastor Joshua showed me spiritual warfare, how to apply. my mentality to the God of more than enough, that I was not just going to make the grade to not be fired, you know, just get in that line, you know. Out of 300 agents, I didn't want to be, you know, just number 300, because that was too close to the line, you know, because the next day, agent number 301 could see that I was 300 and they're going to do more and make me 301 and get cut off. Because my God was more than enough. I said, Lord, you're going to help me here. And so I had to do my spiritual warfare every half an hour, every half an hour, every half an hour. I declared and I decreed what I wanted. In the name of Jesus, qualified clients come and X amount of clients purchase from me every day. In the name of Jesus, every day, every half an hour, every half an hour. I looked at my stats every day, every day. I watched and I was corrected by my supervisors. I said, thank you. Because you know what? When they gave me a correction, I did what they said and I got higher. I said, come on, bring on the hard stuff. Tell me the worst thing I'm doing so I could stop doing that. And in my first quarter, I was in the top 10% of 300 people nationwide. Some of these sales agents came from Fortune 500 companies. They were making six figures. I wasn't on their level. I would have been making six figures as well. But I beat them in the office status. In the first year, I became number one. Number one. Then they promoted me. And then they promoted me. And then when the department got closed down, I was the last man standing because of economic downturn. And even though God provided through unemployment, and that only lasts so long, we blessed more people than you know when I was on unemployment that made more money than we did because people were sending us checks. We haven't talked to you for years from different states. I remember when God used you and Pastor James to bless me and canceled my heart surgery because I've been completely healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the Lord told me to send you this $1,000 check and kept sending them. We're like, thank you, Jesus, in the time of need. We get $500 checks, $1,000 checks, whatever. They just keep coming. More than enough. More than enough. And you know, Pastor Joshua says, well, those of you who are on staff, Jerry Seville was told by Kenneth Copeland to pray in his own salary. I said, thank you, Jesus, because I'm going to put a big number on that. I'm going to believe for a big salary. Hallelujah. It didn't scare me. I got excited. Because every day, Pastor James and I pray our El Shaddai contract, reminding him that he's our reminder, thanking him and declaring and decreeing that he's more than enough. And you know, he's met our needs every step of the way. This month, Pastor James made an 11% bonus over his normal income. Next month, he's already scheduled to 15 to 20%. And it's going to keep growing exponentially. God is the God of more than enough. If you say, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, you've just canceled your prayers. That's the just enough mentality. You got to get to the more than enough mentality. Amen. And so we want you to know, I might not get to everything on this outline. And usually when I like to preach instead of teach, because I want to inspire you, I want to get you motivated, I want to encourage you, I don't have an outline because I really want you to get this. I want you to understand the mentality of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. But I wanted you to have the outline. I wasn't going to give you one so you could just focus and hear the word of God and get the seed planted in your heart, right? And the Lord says, no, give them the scriptures to verify it. Give them the outline so that they could go back and study to show themselves approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. They can listen to those CDs over and over and over and really get this in the spirit so that they're not just going to be thinking they're eagles in the chicken coop, that they're going to soar when they get this higher and greater than they have ever soared, because it is the time of more than enough that God is releasing into each of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this preaching is prophetic for those that have ears to hear. And whenever God's word goes forth, it always goes forth to fulfill that which the word of God has been sent to do it, bearing great fruit, because God sees great potential in each of you that he's already placed in you and wants to use you for his glory to bear much fruit. Amen? So, God watches to see if you're a good steward. We are on B, number 7. And that story is Matthew 25, 20 to 30. This parable is about the master who divided his money among his servants, and the servants who took the money they were given and used it to earn more were told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The servant that did nothing with the money was called wicked and lazy. So people who bury their money, who do nothing with it because they're hoarding it, they want to keep it for themselves. It's like the daily manna that at the next day becomes worms. It's going to just wither and fade away. God wants us to have that responsibility that if you're faithful with his money, opportunity, and skills given to you, you will be rewarded here on earth as in heaven. God wants you investing into the kingdom of God and supporting this church. He doesn't want us scattering our seed around. You know, he wants us to be fruitful, and I'm going to plant my seed where it gets the greatest and highest return. That's just smart money, right? And so here it says in Psalm 1, 1 through 3, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the," what? "Streams of water, which yield its fruit in," what? "Season, and whose leaf does not," what?
"Wither.
And whatever he or she does, prospers." Let's do a checkup. Are there areas in our life that is not prospering? Is there an area in my life that's not prospering? Well, I'm going to go ask God every day more and more and more. Let's ask God today before next week. Lord God, in what area am I not being successful? In what area do I have a roadblock? And if I really want to know, go talk to an ABC leader. Don't everybody call up Pastors Joshua and Sarah, because their phone would be ringing off the hook. But they will tell you. But the leaders can also help you. If you have a friend that is an ABC-er, so that they will not, you know, be giving you negativism, but be an edifier because they walk in love, joy, peace, patience. If you have a loved one that's an ABC-er, I'm qualifying, because I don't want you to go talk to somebody who will agree with your head talkers. You know, have you ever been told or heard of other people say, "You're not good enough. You can't make it. Nothing you do will succeed." Well, nobody else has made it in our family. Why should you? Or whatever the devil's trying to do to discourage you. There might be other areas. "You'll never get healed. That's too hard." Are you kidding me? That bank account, I've been looking at it every week. It's the same balance. Head talkers do a lot of stuff, man. They are the chicken coop mentality, and they ensnare us. And there is a fence around that coop that you have to break down and take dominion over as you fly in that air away from those lies. Amen?
Amen.
There was a man by the name of Peter Daniels. And he was a mocker, because he was mocked all the time. So he mocked other people. And when he was little, his teacher, Mrs. Phillips, would ask him to read, and he would get the words all mixed up, and the whole class would laugh after him, and they'd put him in the corner, and they put this triangle cap on him, and they called it the dunce cap, because dunce means dumb. You dummy. That was a dummy cap. And he was crowned with it the whole rest of the day. How embarrassing was that? I don't know if you've ever been embarrassed before with those kind of things, but his head talkers were big. You can't ever make it. You're stupid. You can't read. Might as well just give up and go eat worms. And so he went to a Billy Graham crusade. I don't know how he got there, but he went there actually to mock Billy Graham, make fun of him. And he got the last laugh because he ended up at the altar getting saved. Isn't that how God does? Takes the foolish things and confound the wise. And then after he got saved, he said, well, you know, he learned a scripture and he learned about God healing and the mind of Christ. So he would actually lay down on his floor and say, God, heal my head, heal my mind, help me learn to read. In those days, they didn't know about dyslexia, and he had severe dyslexia of the words all getting jumbled up and backwards. And instead of worshiping a god, he thought he was just supposed to worship a dog. You know, got the G-O-D, D-O-G, and G-O-D got all mixed up. And then pretty soon, he could read his Bible. Pretty soon, he could learn to read other books. Pretty soon, he became a good student. And pretty soon, he learned that he wasn't the one that was not good enough. He learned that God was more than enough. And he wanted to show people how he could be God's good enough. Because everything God made is good. And he is now a multi-billionaire. He has one of the world's best entrepreneurial schools that have trained many people. And graduates have also become multimillionaires and is one of the highest educational systems in Australia and in the world today. And he wrote a book. What was the name of the book? The Mrs. Phillips, You Were Wrong book. Mrs. Phillips, You Were Wrong. And, you know, just to meet him, he's just a really nice guy. Pastor James and I, we were at one of his conferences, went up and talked to him afterwards. And he sat and chatted with us for a long time. Wasn't arrogant, wasn't prideful, wasn't, oh, you can't talk to me or whatever. And we really learned a lot from him. And he said one time he went to this hotel because the Lord told him to go preach all over the world, wherever God would send him, that he was supposed to pay for his hotel. He was supposed to pay for everything, that he didn't want the churches expending any money and he didn't take love offerings because God showed him how to prosper. He knew the more than enough living lifestyle, okay? And so he went to go pay his bill, and the young man at the desk said, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot take your credit card because I've already charged it to the church account that was invited you. I was under strict instructions by the church to make sure that this bill was paid by them. And so Peter Daniels said, you don't understand. I told you, young man, that I was paying this bill. He says, no, sir, I can't do that. He says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to call up my attorney right now in my business department, and I'm going to tell them to buy this hotel today, and I'm going to fire you. Oh, I'll reverse the charges, sir. I'll get right on that. More than enough in the kingdom of God means that you dominate in every arena of your life. And your finances, you just don't prosper. You have more than enough. He helps give scholarships to people. He helps orphanages. He supplies hundreds of thousands of dollars to ministries that helps others. He does not need one dime because his God is more than enough. And this is dominating your earth, the heavens, and the underworld. God wants you to prosper in every area of your life as an eagle flying high so that you are supplying the needs of the kingdom because you know how to access your resources from God. And this is the more than enough living lifestyle. I want that. We're on our path. You know, every day money comes to Pastors Joshua and Sarah. Every day. Well, we're catching up. Because it's every month we're getting checks of $500 and $1,000 every month. I want that daily. And so I change that affirmation to, instead of in the name of Jesus, money cometh, I say it in the name of Jesus, abundance of money cometh, more than enough. And now I'm going to add, in the name of Jesus, an abundance of money cometh, more than enough. Hallelujah. And God wants you to do the same. So where our treasure is, there is our heart. God wants you to prosper so much that your fruit is laden down on the branches falling off. I'm going to read you Psalms 1, 1 through 3 again. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's why I want you to go to an ABC-er and say, where do I need to do some corrections so that we can RRB? We can get rid of those demons. We can turn our life around and get pruned, get the weeds out so that we will not be held back and our bountiful harvest will then be able to come forth. And it says, nor stand in the way of sinners or sit at the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. And the word of God says that he corrects those he loves. So I'm going to delight in correction from now on. And his law, he meditates on day and night. And he is like, I'm going to say this. Let's say this in the eye. Say it with me. I am a blessed person of God. In the name of Jesus, I do not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But my delight is in the law and word of the Lord. And on God's word, I meditate day and night. I am a tree. Planted by the streams of water. And when my fruit is yielded, in this season, starting today, a new beginning of more than enough. My leaves never wither. And whatever I do, prospers because I serve the God of more than enough. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to correct me and help me not be offended and see my sins that I'm unaware of and change and get the weeds out so my fruit will be a bountiful harvest and a blessing to others. So God can use me to bless others as I'm receiving his blessings. And I thank you, Lord, for your more than enough for me in every area of my life. And I'm an eagle, and I fly, and I soar, and I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.